Don and I got the chance for Thanksgiving to get away for a couple of days. My brother lives in New York City, so we headed to New York to get a chance to visit with him. There's tunnels that go into Manhattan, and as we are getting to the Lincoln Tunnel, you may know that there were some folks testing one shooting that happened about a year ago. They were protesting and shut down the Lincoln Tunnel. So as we went through the Lincoln Tunnel, we got escorted by about a dozen police cars. And if you think sirens are loud, imagine them in a tunnel. They get even louder. And then all the way back, we were listening to the story about the gentleman who opened fire up on the Planned Parenthood up over in Colorado Springs. That's to say it's a very dark world, and so I think the reading from the Gospel according to John is especially appropriate for today. This is the Christmas story as John remembers it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man who was sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light which illumines everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, and yet the world did not know him. He came to what is his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. The Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Are we going to be able to get this to work, John, or should I go to the handheld? Pardon? We'll switch to the handheld and see if that's a little less annoying to listen to. Does that sound better? All right. Plan B. I hope this works because there is no plan C. As I was thinking about preparing through the Advent into the Christmas season, I thought about a theme that would be appropriate and came up with, I thought this was a kind of an inspired moment, Christmas presents. Why do we do some of the things that we do this time of year? I thought we'd spend a little bit of time looking more deeply in the things that we do to make the story of Jesus' birth real for us. Back in July, we did a survey on what some of the things are that we do this time of year to make Jesus' birth real in our lives. And one of the things that we came up with that a lot of us do is put up Christmas lights. Who here puts up Christmas lights? Who here has already started getting their lights up and out? Last year, I usually put mine around the edge of the roof of my house. And last year when I was taking them down, I was very careful that if they were burnt out, I checked them before I put them away and then threw them away. I figured not any good storing burnt out old lights. This morning, Dawn started getting them out to put them up again. And you know what she found? Like half of them are burnt out again. How does that happen? Her brother-in-law even last year got those fancy LED lights. The package says that they'll last forever. You know what he found this year? They go out too. I'll spend hours going up and down the ladder to get these lights placed just right. It'll probably take me two or three trips to either Lowe's or to Target or wherever I can find the lights that I need. And I got to asking myself the question, why do we do that? What's worth all that bother? Why do we do that? You probably know that many scholars think that Jesus was actually born sometime in the springtime. And they think that because there are clues in the story. Like, for example, when the angels came singing to the shepherds as they were watching their flocks by night. Generally speaking, sheep are kept in pens, especially during the wintertime. That way they're safe and they're warm. So they ask the question, is there a time where sheep tend to be kept out and shepherds tend to watch them by night? And there is. That's during lambing season. Generally speaking, during lambing season, the sheep are kept out in the fields. And when is that? Lambing season is generally in the spring, so some think that's an indication that Christmas actually happened more, or Jesus' birth happened during the springtime. So why was it so important that Christmas be this time of year? I think one of the reasons that we put lights out is because it's so dark this time of year. December 22nd will be the winter solstice, which means the nights will be as long as they ever get, and the days will be as short as they get all year long. Our God is a God of light. Jesus came to show us the life and the light, and in the Gospel according to John, which is written mostly as poetry and metaphor, it says it this way: what has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. Or in other words, there's something about the way that Jesus is and the way that light works that are similar. All right, you probably already picked up on the idea that I'm not just talking about physical light here, the kind that you can see, but it's intended here to be a metaphor for so much more, not just the kind of light that we can see, but it's intended to be a metaphor for right and for wrong, for good and for bad, for those places where God is and the places where God is not. So, for example, when a guy named Saul is walking along a road to a place called Damascus and sees a flash of light, we're probably not just talking about physical light here, but something more. He hears a voice, the voice of Jesus, saying, "Why are you persecuting me? Please stop hurting me," and goes on to explain a little bit about what he wants people to do in turning from darkness and light. And this is the way God describes the difference between light and darkness. He says he wants people to turn from the power of Satan to God so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Will you agree that we still live in a pretty dark world? Do you remember a couple weeks ago when you first heard the news about what was going on in Paris? Do you remember how your hearts broke? Do you remember wondering how anybody could get so far away from God that they would hate other people so much or want to do other people so much harm? Don't you wonder how bad it must be in Syria right now, that people are leaving in the droves with nothing to start all over again? Recently, I was visiting a person in the hospital who had a moment of confession where they said simply, "I'm tired and I just want to go peacefully." There are people who live in a very, very dark place. If you're in a dark place right now, then here's the good news. There's no place so far that God cannot reach you. There is no place so dark that God cannot shine a light. If you feel like there's not a lot of options, if you feel like you see things only getting worse, remember, we put out lights because it's a reminder that though we can't overcome, we can't fight the darkness, we can overcome it. The Gospel of John also says this: the light that shines in the darkness, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Both Eleanor Roosevelt and John F. Kennedy are quoted as saying, "It's better to light a candle than it is to curse the darkness." I love that quote. By the time that Jesus was born, there was already a celebration that was going on in Jerusalem around this time of year. It was, of all things, the festival of lights. Today, Jews call it Hanukkah. It had been going along for around 150 years. It celebrated something that happened about 150 years before the time of Jesus. There was a king by the name of Antiochus, who was the king of Judea around the Jerusalem area, who wanted to modernize the city. And so he built an aqueduct and he built a gymnasium, but to do it, he raided the temple. He raided its treasury and he took everything he could find of any value in it. He took all their gold stuff, anything that was any sacred worth. And as long as he was doing the temple in, he also took the Torah scrolls. He had them burned or he had them sold. There was a group called the Maccabees that said, "This is just not good. We have got to do something about it." And so they decided to revolt and take back the temple. They did, and when they did, all they could find in the temple was a little oil lamp and enough oil to last for about a day. They decided, well, it's only a day, but let's light it anyway. So they lit the oil in the lamp, and to their amazement, after a day, it didn't go out. It kept burning for a second day and a third day. Do you know how long the oil lasted? 8 days, which is why there are 8 candles now on the menorah. Every year thereafter, they would light candles on the menorah as a way to remember what the Maccabees did that day. It was a way to remember their boldness. It was a way to remember that they were not going to let it happen again, not on their watch. And it was a way to remember that God provides. During the Second World War, I understand that it became a tradition. If you had lost a son or daughter in the war, to put a star in the window of your house. There is a story about a family that was going around this time of year looking at the lights that were in houses. And they were looking at the stars. And there were some neighborhoods where there were stars in just about every single house. The story is this, that one family was going around as they were looking at lights. They drove by a church, and in the front yard of the church, there was a nativity. In the nativity, there was Mary and Joseph. There were the shepherds and the wise men. And then do you know what was over the top of all of it? There was a star. And the young man in the car looked at the star, connected the dots, and said, "Look, Mom, it looks like God lost a son too." As you put up lights this year, I hope you will pause and use them as an opportunity to remember. Remember the faithfulness of Mary, the courage of Joseph, the insight of the wise men, the wonder of the shepherds, but mostly to remember the sacrifice of Jesus. Remember that God has provided for you. We put up lights because there's something about the way that light works that is the same way that Jesus shines. We in our living room have a table lamp that's far enough away from the wall that you have to have an extension cord to get electricity to it. Well, a couple of months ago, I needed an extension cord, and I couldn't find an extension cord anywhere else, so I borrowed the one from the lamp in the living room. And then when I didn't need it anymore, I had forgotten to return it. And so we went for a couple months without that light working, right? Is this a fair story? Recently, I decided to get around to returning that extension cord to where it belongs. And so I could finally turn the light on after months of not being able to turn it on. Do you know what happened? All of a sudden, I could see all the dust that was there. There were Matchbox toys that we thought were lost, Cheerios that we thought we'd cleaned up. That's what light does. It helps us to see what we couldn't see before. You probably know that the story of Jesus' birth is not the first story of a baby born, at least in the Gospel according to Luke. First, there's a story about another baby that was born, and his name is John. The story in a nutshell is that his parents are Elizabeth and Zechariah, and as far as we know, Elizabeth and Zechariah didn't have any other kids. They were getting old and didn't think they were going to be able to have kids. Zechariah was a priest. And every year, one priest got to go up into the Holy of Holies. And this time, Zechariah drew the straw and got to go up there where God was thought to be. Supposed to be a scary place, so much so that, you know, they'd tie a string around the foot of the person that was going up in there. So if something should happen, they'd be able to pull them out. Well, he got up in there, and lo and behold, God was there in the form of an angel. Told him that his wife was going to have a baby. He laughed at her. Not a good thing to laugh at angels. The angel was so surprised that somebody would laugh at him that he left Zechariah speechless, which left a real problem because Zechariah was still speechless when it came to the birth of the baby, and Zechariah was the only one that knew that the baby was supposed to be named John, and so nobody was going to be able to name the boy John because Zechariah couldn't speak, and then suddenly his voice cleared up. John came as a voice crying out in the wilderness saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." It's the same message Jesus began his ministry with. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Or in other words, turn on the light. If there's something wrong in your life, in the world around you, name it. It's time for a change. Turn on the light. One last thought. We put up lights not just to show ourselves the light of Christ, but also then to show others the way. The Gospel of John says it this way, "The true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world." Which enlightens who? Everyone. The light you're following is the light of Christ. Others, therefore, ought to be able to see that light in you and they ought to want to follow. One of my favorite Christmas traditions comes, or stories of lighting candles during Christmas, comes from the days of the Middle Ages. In the Middle Ages, they believed that there would be a time of returning of Christ, and not just coming again at the end of the age in clouds and on glory, but they also believed that every now and then Jesus, well, every Christmas, Jesus would show up. The problem is that you never quite knew what Jesus was going to look like when he showed up. He might come as a guy who was sick, or as a woman who was hungry, or as a child who needed a scarf or something. And so it became the tradition that on Christmas Day, Christians would welcome anyone that they thought might have any chance of being Christ wandering in the world into their home, especially the poor, the hungry, the sick, people in trouble. The problem that they had was, how would Jesus know which homes to come to? How would Jesus know where Christians lived? And so they needed a way of pointing out where Christians lived. Do you know what they started doing? They started putting lights in their windows as a way of saying, Christ is welcome here. As you're putting lights out this Christmas, will you use that as an opportunity to say, here is a candle I put in the door to my heart. Christ is welcome here. Hopefully it then will show others the way to the light of Christ. And we've got a lot of ways around Faith Community that we're doing that this time of year. Over in the narthex area, you'll notice that there's a Christmas tree and there are gifts that are gathering underneath the tree. Today is the day that we're supposed to have those gifts in to be able to share with some of the kids down at St. Paul United Methodist on the east end of Dayton. I have to admit, there was a moment where I saw a couple of them in there, like there's a remote control helicopter. I thought, wow, I could really use that. We got some lucky kids down at St. Paul. There also is a mitten board over there. We're partnering with Interfaith Hospitality Network to help to provide some Christmas gifts for Interfaith Hospitality Network also. So you've got to take the mitten and sign one of them and get that gift and then leave the other one so that we know who's taken that. That's another opportunity to help show others the light of Christ. Another of the things that's going on this time of year is next Sunday. Ann Wolf has made a bunch of scarves, and she's going to hang them out in Shawnee Park so that folks who need a scarf, there probably will be mittens there. So if you happen to wander through Shawnee Park and you're wondering what the scarves are hanging on the trees, I thought you'd like to know that's what's going on. It's one of the ways that we're reaching out. On Wednesday, there's also going to be a service here that the Stephen ministers are organizing called Blue Christmas. If you know someone that's having a particularly difficult time getting through this Christmas season, this is a time to search for healing and for peace. Please invite them to this service. It's at 6:30 on Wednesday. And it's not too early either to start inviting people to the Christmas Eve services. One of the things that we do well here at Faith Community is the candlelight Christmas Eve services. Now's the time to be starting to think of who you're going to invite and pray that they'll accept that invitation and be here as a part of our Christmas Eve services. As you put up your lights this Christmas this year, I hope that you will notice the places in the world that are so dark. I hope that you'll remember that the light shines in the darkness, that the way Jesus works is like the way that light shines, and that when we put up lights, they will not only show us the light of Christ, but also that they will show others the way.